everyone, and welcome to the Learn to Lead podcast brought to you by Ability, an experiential learning company based in beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm your host, Matthew Confer, and today on the show, we have Kevin Eikenberry. Kevin has been twice named by Inc.com as one of the top 100 leadership and management experts in the world. He is also the best-selling author of Remarkable Leadership. He also writes Unleashing Your Remarkable Potential, a weekly email publication that has been read worldwide since 2004. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kevin.
Matthew, it's a pleasure to be with you.
I want to start with this. I read online that you collect antique...
Don't believe everything you read online, Matthew. Don't believe...
That's probably the best spot to kick us off, but... After that, I'll kick us off with that you collect antique John Deere tractors, you grew up working on a farm in Michigan, and you learned a lot about leadership from farm work. So let's start here. What does working on a farm teach you about remarkable leadership?
Well, I would say all that's true. That is all true from the internet, straight through from my mouth. So in fact, I'll be at our farm in just a couple of days. I learned a lot from farm work, but I also learned a lot from my father. So I learned from my father about the importance of understanding customers and being clear about your purpose and a lot of things like that. But I would say in terms of farm work specifically, I think I learned lessons about being willing to work hard, although I don't think we always have to work hard. I think sometimes we can work smarter. But I learned about the value of and having the willingness to work hard, long hours when needed. I learned a lot about the value of timing, about the virtue of patience. I think all of us have opportunities to learn from all of our experiences, Matthew. I think I'm fortunate that I've really reflected on my kidhood and my growing up and how it's, I think, helped me learn to be a better leader and to help teach other leaders.
One of the things that you wrote recently on LinkedIn was that, quote, simple is powerful, simple creates clarity, and simple builds confidence. Why is keeping it simple important when it comes to effective leadership?
I'm going to say something first. I knew you were going to ask me that question, and I want to start here. That might seem like an easy thing to say, but we live in a complex and complicated world. And so the paradox here is that not everything that we deal with as a leader is simple. The concern here is that people hear that and they think I'm saying, well, I'll just dumb everything down and make everything simplistic. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that when we can recognize, even in the course of the uncertainty in which we live and work, when we can understand and have clarity around principles, when we can understand and have clarity around our values, when we can understand and have clarity about the mission of our organization and for ourselves, then we can make things simpler. And when we can take things that are more complex and make them simpler, not overly simplified, we can create greater confidence for everyone. Because once we see the core essence, then we can say, hey, we can move toward that. We can do that even through the uncertainty in which we are working and leading.
You talk a lot about leadership potential and you've worked with a lot of leaders over the years. What are some of the main things that you've seen that hold individuals back from reaching their leadership potential?
Well, the first and most important thing is, Matthew, is we have to decide. Right. So I know you got a variety of different people that are listening to us right now. Right. So if you're a senior leader, you've probably made a decision and you've probably moved in that direction, which is fantastic. If you're building leadership training for others, we can build the best training in the world. And we try to do the same thing. But ultimately, we have to help people make a choice. And if you're young earlier in your career, that choice is an important one. So if we want to become the leader we're capable of being, the first thing we must do is choose. The second thing we must do is work at it, try it, keep trying, knowing that it's not going to be perfect the first time you try and you practice. So you start with building the right mindset. Then you, lots of places, including on podcasts like this, Matthew, building the skill set. And then you have to go out and create the habit set, right, of doing the work. And in the doing of the work, when we have some success, then we have the chance to build confidence, which I think is critical. So the idea of what we call the confidence competence loop. When we have more confidence, we build our competence, which builds our confidence and that upward spiral that we can create there. But it all starts with saying, this is important to me. I want to get better at leading others. I want to get better at the skills that lead people to choose to follow me, which is ultimately what leadership's about.
You mentioned in one of the answers about leaders that are earlier on in their career. If I asked you to look back at a period of your time where you were early in your career, how do you think you've evolved the most as a leader over the years? When you look back at that leader that was a little bit more junior to the person that you are today, where do you think your evolution has been the most stark?
Well, I would like to hope that over time I have become wiser, and that with wisdom, I think it is something that can give us clearer intention. It can help provide perspective and those sorts of things. So, I mean, I would certainly think that over time I've gotten wiser. I've got more to draw from to help. I also think I'm more patient with others, not always with myself, but with others. And I'd like to hope that I'm a better listener than I used to be.
We talk a lot in the show about risk taking, and we've had a lot of entrepreneurs on the show. Can you talk a little bit about a time where you felt like you had to take a risk? How did you approach that risk? And then maybe how did you dissect if it was a risk worth taking?
After 30 years of running a company, I don't know that I qualify as an entrepreneur anymore, right? But I certainly at the time, over 30 years ago now, that I chose to leave a very successful corporate career in a very large company to decide to go off and do, you know, the earliest version of what we're doing today, that was certainly a risk. We think about risk in often too narrow of a context, right? Like we look at risk and we're trying to make sure that we don't fall off the cliff, right? So we need to create a safety net underneath our risks, which is fair. But I don't think people spend enough time thinking about what's the possibility. And what would I need to do to make sure I'm moving toward the possibility? In other words, not just thinking about what if it fails, but how do I reduce the risk of it failing? How do I reduce the likelihood? I won't use the word risk again. The likelihood of failing. That's where I would come at that. And as a leader, we have to recognize that not everyone on our team is doing the same calculus about that, right? And so while I may not see something as risky for me personally or even for our business, others on our team might. And so I need to make sure I understand their perspective, maybe help them see something different that makes it less risky to them, or maybe to listen to what their concerns are, because there are things I might not be aware of, and they may be identifying a blind spot for me.
When you were early on in this endeavor of going out on your own, what do you think you worried about too much, and what did you not worry about enough?
Well, I was very fortunate when I first started. I won't go into all the details, but of having quite a bit of work when I first started. So one of the things I didn't do nearly soon enough, was work on finding more clients, right? Because if you've got some, then all is well, right? And so that, I think, was a mistake. And I think the other mistake that I didn't do nearly early enough of was writing. I mean, you mentioned Remarkable Leadership. I've had the chance to author, co-author, or be contributing author to over 20 books now in something like 12 languages. And that all could have started sooner. I didn't worry enough about where the next client would come from. What I think I worried about too much, perhaps, I don't know that I really thought about this very much, because I try not to let worry impact me too much. But I would say that perhaps I worried too much early about how I was viewed by others, rather than just trying to not be myself oblivious, but be myself and move in the direction of my goals, rather than worrying about how others might judge me in those endeavors.
You talked in that last question about writing and the work that you've done writing. What is your process for writing a book? How do you come up with the ideas? What does that journey look like for you as an author?
Since I'm working on a manuscript right now and literally was working on it earlier this morning, this is pretty fresh in my head. In this particular case, for my new book that won't come out for a little over a year from now, April of next year, called The Flexible Leader, the ideas for this particular one have been percolating for a very long time. So I used that word wisdom earlier. I don't know how wise I am, but I think I've got something unique to say. Even though a lot's been said and written about leadership, I think I have a fresh perspective for us to think about. And so this one's been percolating a long time. So to answer the question specifically, the process has to be, you have to have a very clear picture of who your audience is, just like you have and shared with me a very clear picture of who our audience is today. Like, we have a clear picture of our audience, what we're trying to accomplish in the writing, and then as it relates to a business, how is that going to impact our business? So I'm not just writing to write, and I'm not just writing solely for the audience, although that is my number one purpose. It's also meant to be a stepping stone for us to be able to have deeper interactions with those readers or the decision makers in those companies. So it's thinking about all of our reasons why, being crystal clear on those things. And then lastly, and the thing that I think most people don't do enough, is you got to write. Like, people talk to me, like, I've been wanting to write a book. I've been working on my book for 3 years. I'm like, no, you haven't, because you're only really working on it at the end of the day when you're writing.
You've spoken and you've written a great deal about the skills that are necessary to excel as a leader in a remote environment. Can you walk mm-hmm. through some of the things that leaders must be aware of and the skills we need to build to lead others when we're doing so remotely?
Well, in our book, The Long Distance Leader, which came out prior to the pandemic, and now this fall, the second edition will come out. I think maybe the thing that people remember the most from the book, and maybe it's the single most important thing from the book, is what we call rule number one. Leadership first, location second. So in other words, not everything changes. Just because that context of where people are working and how much we might interact with them in proximity might be very different. But most of what we do as a leader hasn't changed. Those things still have to happen. And so what we need to do is be not forget what we already know, but then use more intention for the things that are different, because those nuances that are different are critically important. So I'm not just saying it's all the same, don't worry about it. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is don't forget what you already know, but you have to now intentionally apply it in new ways. And that intentional application, I think, is critical. Like, whether that's, I'll give you a very simple example. So if we're walking down the hallway and there's sometimes we just need to transact some business, right? So, but if you and I work together, Matthew, and I work for you, and I call you, I'll use the phone as the example. I call you, you work in Austin and I work in Indianapolis, and I call you and say, hey, man, I know you're busy. I don't want to take too much of your time. I just have this question. I ask the question and you answer the question. We have transacted business, and that is awesome, but we haven't had any interaction. And while there are certainly leaders and team members that are in a building together that don't interact either, it's far more likely to happen serendipitously, just on the fly, like on the way to the car after work, in the parking lot, to have an interaction and not just transact the business. But in that case, I know that you're busy. I'm not trying to take your time. And we just transact the business as leaders. Just using this as one example, we have to be far more intentional, far more clear about interacting with our team members, going beyond the work and the weather.
Very interesting. As a final question, before we move to the rapid fire questions, I always like to ask about what individuals are the most proud of. So over the course of your career, be it a book, be it a leader that you interacted with, what are you the most proud of when you look back at the accomplishments and the impact that you've had?
Well, I'm very blessed because I've had the chance for the last 30 years to do the work that I believe I was put on the planet to do, Matthew. So I could give you a long list. But the first thing that came to my mind when you said it was, I'm proud of the team that we have created here at the Kevin Eikenberry Group that is spread out across the United States, many of whom have been with me, been a part of our team for a very long time. It's a talented team. It's a passionate team. It's a diverse team in terms of how we think and how we work. And yet we're pretty clear on what we're trying to accomplish. So if you force me to one, I could give you a long list, but I'd probably pick that one.
That actually prompts a question. How do you think about goal setting as an organization or as an individual? You said you're very proud of what you've accomplished. When you look at a new year or a new quarter or a new month or whatever it looks like, how do you think about goal setting?
I am finding as time goes on that I think less about goals and more about purpose and targets. Because to me, targets are different than goals, because we can create process targets or results targets, and we can track whichever one of those things it is, right? So you mentioned I've been doing this one newsletter since 2014. I think that's the date, or what? No, 2004, I think it actually is. Whatever it is, like, I've not missed a single week, right? So you could say we have a goal to put out a newsletter, but the target is we're not going to miss a week. Now, there's a reason why for that, right? We're trying to deliver something of great value to those who read it. And people can learn about that by going to kevineichenbrady.com/newsletters to get any of our newsletters. But so we could have process targets or goals. We can have results targets or goals. I guess as time goes on, I think more about targets and more about being really clear about the why, because ultimately the biggest lever toward whatever we're trying to accomplish is the why anyway.
Well, being clear about the why is a wonderful spot to shift us to our final rapid fire questions. And the first one is this: if you could describe your leadership style in just one word, what would that one word be?
Potential. Helping people reach their potential.
And the final rapid fire question is this: what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
It's not all about you.
Well, helping people reach their potential and it not all being about you is a wonderful spot to close us out. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, thank you for that. Thanks for having me again. And thank you for the chance to say a couple things real quick. I'll just say this. If you're a person that's on LinkedIn, just go find me on LinkedIn, Kevin Eikenberry. You can find me there. I think there's only one of me. And, you know, we've got a bunch of LinkedIn learning courses. We have a LinkedIn newsletter you can sign up for. And if you just want to reach out and connect with me and say hello and say, here's, you know, I heard you and Matthew. I mean, I'd love that. That would be fantastic. And you can find out lots about what we're doing as an organization by going to kevineikenberry.com. That's KevineikenB as in boy, Erry.com.
Well, thank you for all the great insight. Thanks to all of our wonderful listeners for joining us. If you enjoyed today's show, we would love a rating and review in your podcast app of choice. And we truly appreciate it when you share this episode or any of our episodes with your network. You can find me on social media at Matthew Confer. You can find our show on Instagram at Ability Sims, and you can find our organization at ability.com. I want to thank Kevin again for joining us on this episode. And of course, I want to thank all of you for joining us on the Learn to Lead podcast.
This podcast is produced by Ability, a leading provider of world-class experiences that inspire, develop, and propel professionals to their leadership potential. You can find us at www.ability.com or by searching for Ability online. That's A-B-I-L-I-T-I-E. Make sure to also check out the 12-week MBA. We've published a book with this title and offer a fully virtual part-time 12-week MBA program that features experiential learning, interactive case studies, mentoring, and networking. Find more information about both at www.ability.com/12-week-MBA. Finally, be sure to subscribe to our podcast so that you get our next episode. We want to thank you all for joining us on the Learn to Lead podcast.